Morning. How's your Bible, Craig? Good morning, everyone. How are you? Are you ready to hear what God has got to say to us today? Let's just get the show on the go, yeah? There we go. And I'll get it going at the top there. Let's pray before we start to hear what God has to share with us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And Lord, we just know the timing is perfect in you and what you are declaring over us. We pray, Lord, that the power of God would be evident amongst us and that, Lord, that you would stir every one of our hearts to do what you're commanding us to do today. Pray that we will not be fearful, but Lord, we'll be filled with faith and we'll just trust you, Lord, as you send us and as you direct us into this wonderful work that you've got for us to preach this gospel of Christ. May we all be changed today, Lord. May we all be doing what you are speaking to us by your Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe Jesus is here today? Do you believe that he can speak to you? Do you believe he wants to speak to you? Well, let's be hearing what he says through the Word of God. We're continuing with Jesus' parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. This is part two, and I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. I want to read it again, and then we're going to expound the Word of God, and we're going to just trust God. It's going to open up our minds to hear what the Spirit of God is actually saying to us. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. Is it on the screen? Not yet, but it'll be there. But turn in your Bibles while they get it right at the back there. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied, "and how do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." That comes from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, in reply, said, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, and poured oil and wine, and he put the man on his own donkey, and took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, and gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I'd like to expound what the scripture is and ask the question, as the expert in the law said, "Who is my neighbor?" And want to just trust that God will actually speak to us. Jesus talks in this parable and says that on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho, there were robbers. And I want to just say, on the journey of life that we actually have, that there is thieves that live in this world. We know that as a reality living in South Africa, and I think it's been through the ages that there's been thieving around, and there've been men that haven't been of integrity that have come to steal and destroy. But I want to just say, there's an aspect in the physical, but there's an aspect in the spiritual. Now the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, and I've come that they might have life and have life to the full." And I want to just say is that we need to be aware, as much as in our homes, and I trust that you are aware of your environment that you live in, the South Africa, you need to be wise at where you live. And I want to just say, take the precautions to protect your home. In the Old Testament, We see that they built cities and they put walls around their cities, and we see what we're doing here. We think it's sometimes fear, but it's not always fear. But it's a wise thing. We see enclosed communities that are taking place. We've got security guards because the thieves are out there. That is in the natural. In your home, I want to suggest is don't live in fear. Trust God. But it is wise to have a security system. It is wise to have burglar bars. It is wise to lock your doors at night. Not that we live in fear anyway, but it's wise to do those things. And if we do that in the natural, what are we doing in the spiritual? Do we leave the spiritual wide open and we let the devil just come in and to steal and destroy? Have you put up barriers to stop the evil one to come and destroy? What is he trying to steal? He's trying to steal the very life of God that's in you. And he's trying to take the word of God that you receive and that you've got a revelation of, and he tries to take it away, and he does take it away because he does not want you to prosper. And the only way you can prosper is when the word of God comes to you and brings revelation, and the Holy Spirit can take that word and you can start to live that. So there's a thief that's out there that comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. Importantly, Jesus didn't use the word thief. He used the word robber. Now, there's a difference between a thief and a robber. Do you know that? I never knew that. A thief comes to steal stealthily and secretly. He comes in and he'll take the thing. When we were in Omanis in December, and Nikki and I were sleeping in this bedroom, a thief came in stealthily and came through the window and he stole her cell phone. That's a thief. What would a robber do? A robber would come in and he would come and do bodily harm. He would smack you and beat you up and tie you up and do things. And Jesus says that's what this robber did. Come and did that. And there are thieves and there are robbers. There are people in the workplace that they are thieves. They steal the company's stationery. That's a thief also. There are people that thieve in and take opportunities that you leave something laying around, it'll be gone. So I want to just encourage you, be aware that there are thieves and there are robbers. But God also says that we can rob him in Malachi. But the promise that God gives us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, he said in verse 11, he says, I'll prevent the pest devouring your crops, and your vines and your fields will not cast their fruit. So God is aware there's a thief out there. And he wants to protect you, and he's given us mechanisms of where we can actually protect ourselves. I know there are many aspects in the scripture, but I know that when we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord, he protects us. He protects our vines. He protects the enemy from devouring our crops. That's your income that God does. But then we also have to take authority, and we know that scripture that says submit to God, James 4:7, it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be aware of those things. We do trust in God and put his angels around us to protect us, but we need to take precautions to allow God to protect us through as we pray. The next point is there's these travelers on the road, and Jesus mentions the three persons that were on the road. And here, firstly, we have a priest. Now, Jesus referenced a priest. They were descendants of Aaron, and they looked after the temple in Jerusalem. And as they were walking down this road, he saw this battered man, half dead, and what did he do? He walked along the other side. He was unwilling to get involved. Now, I suppose that's a natural thing because you don't have the means and maybe you don't want to do that. Jesus says this was a man that was supposed to have a testimony of God, but he walked on the other side. Then there was the Levite of the tribe of Levi, also helped in the temple, helped the priests to work out God's things. He also passed on the other side, was unwilling to get involved. And I ask the question, these were men that were part of Israel. How many in the church are in the same place? Jesus referenced people that were part of Israel, that were in the temple, in the very presence of God, ministering God's presence, but were unwilling to get involved when a situation arose. How much is that in the church today? I think it's a reality in the day. There are many that do not want to get involved in the kingdom's outworking. And then Jesus brings up and said there's a Samaritan. Now, in Israel at that time, you need to know that the Samaritans were seen culturally different. They were actually seen as foreigners. They were not seen to associate with the Jews. Even when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, she said, "You're not supposed to be speaking to me." There was a cultural difference. There supposedly their Bible was different. But yet this man, the Samaritan, he says he had pity, the scripture says. And pity means he had compassion. He worked out compassion. There was something in his heart that was different to the Levite and to the priest. And firstly, he got up and he met the needs of this man. He bound up his wounds. And I don't think in those days they had a medical aid kit. There were no paramedics around that he could go and phone the paramedics to get there. Ursula, he never had an ice card. But what did this man do? He must have taken his clothing and he must have cut his clothing up and bound this man up. He says he put oil on the man and poured on wine. It must have been his provisions that he put on this man to heal his wounds. He never had an ambulance. He had a donkey. But he put this man on his donkey and he transported him to the inn. The inn was the closest thing that they had in those days to a hospital. They didn't have a hospital with trained doctors to actually help the man. But there he went to the inn, and the innkeeper was kind enough to take care of this man. And yeah, the Samaritan pays up front for medical care. It says it was equivalent to 2 days' salary that he actually gave. And you know what? He didn't expect any payment back. And I don't believe, we must assume that the man didn't have anything to pay the Samaritan back, but because he was robbed of everything, the Samaritan didn't expect anything in return of that. So Jesus' response to the lawyer, he asked him the question, which one of these do you think was the neighbor? And the expert said, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus gives these profound words to the expert in the law, and he said, go and do likewise. And I want to just say to you today is that as the expert in the law identified the good works of the Samaritan, it was mercy. And mercy is rare today. Mercy is even rare in the church today. Jesus speaks to us in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And we have to rise up, church, to be merciful. Because greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. And the God that is within us is merciful. Do you know when you come to the throne room of grace, in Hebrews it tells us we must ask for mercy. That we might receive grace. We live by grace, but we must ask for mercy because a merciful God wants to shine his mercy through us and live through us. So I want to encourage you, we need to rise up in the mercy of God within us. And then Jesus changes the question. Where the expert in the law said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus turns the question and says, how can I be a neighbor? And so often we get that so wrong. We say, who is our neighbor around us? But Jesus points to us and said, you are the neighbor. And the love command says that we need to love our neighbors, but we need to be a neighbor to other people. So practically in Christianity, as we live out our lives, who is our neighbor? As in Luke 10, verse 27, the expert in law replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I reiterate, as Jesus encouraged us and said, we need to be neighbors to others. We need to rise up in this love command that God has actually given us. So often we're looking at others around us, but if we would rise up with neighborly love, the simple outworking of every person that God brings across our path is our neighbor. You know, we don't have to look at the whole world, but the community that you live in and the workplace that you live in and the family that you live in, everyone that God brings across your path is your neighbor. To that irritating man that does the window washing at the traffic light, to the lady and the man that works in your home and in your garden, to those people that you work with, to your family members, are your neighbors. Yes, some are closer than others and some are blood relatives, but we need to have this appreciation. Every single person that God has created that we have contact with is our neighbor, and we have a task to love them. It may not be a reality at every time to be able to have intimacy with them, but we have to see them as those are the people that God's put across our path and allow us to be neighborly towards them. What we see from this portion of Scripture too, the parable, is that brotherly love is uncommon. Now, God has blessed us as a church that there's been a revelation of God's love in amongst us, and there's a practicing of God's love amongst us, but I really do believe God wants us to grow in this area of His love. But what is the thing that actually prevents the love of God growing in our lives? It's selfishness. And every one of us practices that. You know, even as you've been in the Lord many years, you'll find that that aspect of the old sinful nature comes up, and we are all selfish. And you know, the best place to reveal selfishness is marriage and children. It stirs your heart up, and you find in your life is that there are so many things, you say, my will be done on earth, Lord. But it doesn't always work out like that. You've got to submit, and selfishness is going to be put back, and you'll find on a daily basis that God will be challenging you with your selfishness, that your love can come out, that His love can come out. And if you start to deal with selfishness, you will start to find that this love that God's placed within our hearts will start to be so powerful. You see, selfishness causes us to just think about ourselves. But when the love of God starts to work, you start to look out at people with different eyes. And I'm just trusting that as God just stirs the love of God within our hearts and stirs our hearts for the lost, I want you to see something today as I just open up something to you. Everyone out there is not saved, and we know that. And you know, we are in a privileged position that we have Jesus as our Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're going to heaven, and we have an eternity together with Him. But not everyone out there has the same privilege that we have. And I want to just say there's a difference between life and death. Those that are in sin are not just living in the pleasures of the world. Even though you might seem that they're getting drunk and they're doing all these rowdy parties and they're living a debauched lifestyle, yes, they might be seemingly living in pleasure, but I want to just say to you today, they are dead. And you have life. And God has given us a responsibility, and He's limited it to us to go and tell them about this life through the love of God, that they cannot be dead, that can be alive. And we have an incredible responsibility, and I just love what Jenny went on holiday and sacrificed a holiday to go and preach to family members as the Holy Spirit led her to go and preach this life to dead men and dead women. And I want to just say every one of us has a responsibility to go and preach this through the love of God and go and tell people that they can become alive. Every one of us is here because someone preached to us. And that's why we are here, and we have a responsibility to reach out and do that. Dead men need to be saved, and Jesus died on the cross for dead men. And we need to go and bring that love again. We mustn't let this love of God be scarce. We need to see this working out in our lives. The next point, to be friendly to all men, was in the mind of Christ. And I want to encourage us, when God gave us the love command, it is outworked through relationship, but the key point is through friendship. We need to be friendly to people. So often the world in the selfishness can just be about themselves, and especially the church, we must be careful that we don't become introspective and we're all about ourselves. We need to be friends. One of the values, part of this life of this church, is friendship before function. Our functions mustn't become more important. And, you know, that can be good in the life of the church, but what's happening in your businesses? What's happening in your families? Are you fulfilling your function rather than a friendship? And I want to say, and I'm challenged by that, is your wife or your husband your best friend? Are your children your friends? Is everyone in the life of this church? Yes, we cannot get on with everyone because it's a practicality, but are we friends with the love of God? I think that's very important, and there's a reality of timing behind that thing, but we must have a heart to be friendly. And you know, the old maxim says, you want a friend, be a friend. Now, I want to ask you, the easiest way to touch people out there is to be friendly with people. My dear friend Norman is a very friendly person. And when anyone comes in here, Hey, Norm, you are so friendly to them, and it's just wonderful to see. And he does that out in the marketplace. He's so friendly, and that's why he has the opportunity to actually speak the gospel. And I want to just say it's a key for all of us. Friendship opens up doors. And I want to ask you to be friends to others. This person in the office that you don't like, or the person that is quiet, go and befriend them. Go and make them a cup of tea, or make them a cup of coffee, or take them out for lunch and just come, let's go and just chat or something. You know, it's going to take an effort from our heart to be a person to relate to another person, another human being, and befriend them. And as God gives you those opportunities, I want to encourage you to do that, because this was in the mind of Christ. Jesus is our God, yes, and he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's actually also our friend. He's our brother, but he wants to build friendship with us, and he wants us to build friendship with others that are out there too. The next point is, to what extent do we show kindness and love to others? You see, the Samaritan outworked his compassion, and it came out through his outworking of what he did. He was the one that actually obeyed the love command, and he went out, and he didn't just do it with word and tongue, but he did it with deed and truth. And that's going to take something of ourselves. It's going to take of your time. It's going to take of your money. It's going to actually bother you, because it's going to take of the activity that you have in your life. And I want to encourage you, we need to be sacrificial and deny ourselves in this process. You know, the love command is a very challenging command. And as I was meditating on it yesterday, and I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. I know that's the expounding portion of Scripture, what love is. And 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4, verse 4, sorry. And it says there, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And I want to just encourage you today, I want you to take out what is love. Love is patient, love is kind. And I just sense is if we would start to practice that aspect of God's love, because God is love, but if we would start to work out patience and kindness, it will outwork something in our lives. You know, we need to be humble. We need to be surrendered before God. But I want to tell you, if you want a testimony of Jesus, go and be kind to people, and they will see God. Because people in the world are not kind with one another. They are very selfish. And if you be patient with people, and you're not, you know, the world out there is very impatient. You know, the systems of the world today, and I just see the whole thing of emails. Wonderful, wonderful invention and a wonderful way to communicate with one another. But you know, we are so demanding when we send an email, or can I even say social media, we send something, we expect a response immediately, don't we? And especially if you're a boss, you send something out and your employees better respond immediately with that response. And I want to just encourage you, God is a patient God and he's a kind God, but we need to work out our relationships and especially our communication, I want to say, with patience and kindness. I'm guilty. Because this is something that we've got to learn by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an expert in patience, an expert in kindness. And that's why the Bible says we need to be led by the Spirit of God, that we might be the sons of God. And we've got to represent Christ well. And I wanted to say, if you take these two aspects of being patient and kind, you will represent God well. And you'll find circumstances that will arise even today where you might be irritable, and even myself, and I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be patient. It's something the world doesn't know anymore. The promises of God are actually inherited with patience. Do you know that? It's not always immediately. We've got this instantaneous things that need to take place. We've been taught in a world that's how it happens. It doesn't happen like that. You know, I was talking to Sundry the other day, and she was just saying to me is that she can't drink instant coffee anymore. Isn't that lovely? Because the coffee that is good takes time. It's got to be ground. It's got to be put into, we make it with a moka pot. It's got to be boiled, and it's got to push through the steam, and it's got to be expressed. And it comes, and it has that crema on top, and the aroma that comes out of that. And it takes patience to make good coffee. So does the love of God. It takes patience to work it out into people's lives. So I'm asking you to be patient with one another, and I'm asking you to be kind with one another. And I'm guilty. I'm not always like that. I get irritable at times because I get tired and I get busy and all those things, and I ask for forgiveness when I've been like that. But the reality, I want to just say, if we're going to go and touch a world with friendship, I want you to be patient with them. I want you to be kind to people. You know, and this kindness of loving our neighbors, I'm telling you now, it will work. I really believe the Holy Spirit will use you. You purpose in your heart to be kind to others. And that can be an encouraging word. It might bring light. Or, you know, you guys are so wonderful in bringing meals. That's God's kindness. Not many churches actually do that. When people are going through difficulties and people come and you give a sacrifice of your time and you give a meal to one, that kindness is actually an expression of who Jesus is. And I want to encourage us, let's grow in this patience and this kindness, and God will just do incredibly through us. I know there are other aspects of what the scriptures say, and they don't do this and don't do that. Can I just say, let's focus on what it is, because the don't sometimes lead us astray. Let's be kind. The fruits of the Spirit is also kindness, gentleness, key aspects of what we've got to work out in life. So be patient and be kind. And then the Lord's going to search our hearts in this, as I brought this word today. As you challenge yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to yourself, are we still stingy? Are we still walking with ill nature and suspicion? May we not walk with that. May our hearts be a heart of unconditional brotherly love, and may that rule our lives today. So I want to just say, how does that work in the life of Church on the Way? I want to just encourage us, let's be neighbors to others. Let's represent Christ to others. Let's fulfill the love command. Let's love God. We come here to love God, and we find it quite easy to love God, don't we? It's not difficult to love God because He's Spirit and He's not in our face, in a sense. Yes, He challenges us and He reveals His word to us, but we can't see Him, but we believe Him. And He's there with us, and if you do something out of line, He guides us and directs us. But your neighbor's there in front of you, flesh and blood. And I want to encourage us. Let's be neighborly towards our neighbors. Let's love them with the love of the Lord. And I want to encourage you. This, I really believe, as I was been pondering on, this has been in my heart since beginning of the year. God has spoken to me about loving our neighbors. And it's taken so long to get to this point today to release it amongst you. That is, I really believe this church, to be effective in what God's called us to do, is when we practice that aspect of the love command of loving our neighbors, we're going to be very successful in preaching the gospel. Because you see, when you love your neighbor, it's not just about the church. It's out there. And you've heard all the prophetic words. God is pushing us out. We meet here, but we work out there. And it's not the work here on a Sunday morning. We come to encourage you and to worship God together. But we have work to do out of there. If you've been called and you're part of the kingdom, God has got a work for you to go and do out there. And I want to encourage us today is this: let's be neighborly to others. Secondly, have compassion on your neighbors. Are you like the Samaritan? Or you like the priest or the Levite? Only you can answer that question. I want to encourage you to look out and have compassion of those around you. And yes, you're going to have to see with the eyes of God to do those things. And one of the things that's going to stop you from not seeing your neighbor is your busyness. Because you're going to be so busy doing stuff and not being attentive. You know, the other day, Andrew was joining us on the cycle, and we've been down this route forever and ever, and I never saw a sign, Jesus is King. I never saw it. And he says, Dad, didn't you ever see that? I said, no, I've never seen it, because my head was down all the time trying to get up the hill. And he's like fit and strong, and he can see the thing. And I want to just say, when we lift up our eyes and take ourselves off the busyness, we will start to see our neighbor, and let's be kind. Just a story, outside our home, we put our dustbins out on a Thursday, and the vagrants come and they see everything all over the place. And I get uptight when I come home because I see all the stuff laying on the street. So the other day I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to go and clean the street. And I cleaned the street and I picked it up, put all the rubbish, put it in a rubbish bin and put it in our rubbish bin. But you know what? My neighbor came and said, thank you for doing that, for tidying up. And you know, just that act of kindness, not looking for the neighbor, built a relationship. That there was a door that was open, that there was caring. So I want to encourage us. Let's look out and have compassion on our neighbors. I want to just say something. When you look after your neighbor, it's going to cost you. It might cost your pocket. It's going to cost you money. But I'm telling you, you're going to do it unto God, and he's going to give return to you. And I want to say to you, don't do it begrudgingly. Do it cheerfully. Because if you do it begrudgingly, God doesn't like it. Because you're not a cheerful giver. And I have to check my heart sometimes, because when it hits my pocket sometimes, oh, that's anal. But when you start to give those things and you don't look for a return, I'm telling you, God will give you a return in heaven one day. Okay, compassion and kindness. How do we do this? I've just shared my heart. I cannot tell you how to do it, but just be kind and patient. Let the Holy Spirit work together with you, and you'll see an outworking of God's grace in your life so wonderfully. So what is the process here at Church on the Way, as God has, I've been expounding to you? You've heard me speak about what I really sense the Spirit of God is revealing to us, to reach every home for Christ in our community. And I want to trust that over this next season that we would work hard together. And I come today asking you, I don't come to coerce you in any way. You don't have to get involved. But I want to ask you, will you partner with myself and the elders and the leaders that we can reach our community with the gospel of Christ? That's where that slogan comes, every home for Christ. And that's going to take some work on every one of our behalves. It's going to take, and I want to just say, it's going to take time for you to pray. Pray for your neighbors. It's going to take time for you to get out there and to do things that we're wanting to do and to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't know the details of how it's all going to work out. What we want to start with first is that we practice the love of God. That's the first thing to our neighbors. And I want to suggest is where we want to first want to go out and touch the physical neighbors that live next to you. I want you to reach. Quirbus, I'm not going to reach you. You live right next door to us. But the neighbors that are around us, we need to reach them. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know the numbers of their houses? You need to pray for them, number one. And then I want to encourage us, how do we reach out to them? So I want to say, if you can, befriend them. Open up the door, and when they drive past you, wave at them. If they don't wave back at you, wave at them again until you get their attention, and stop and say, how are you? And you know, even if there's bad blood, break that open. Let something actually happen. And then I want us, this double-edged sword that I sense is first friendship. And secondly, God's put on my heart is we need to put literature in people's hands or in their post boxes, the only weird places you can get to. And yes, initially we're going to be advertising about the church and steps to peace with God, to know him. But we're going to be building over the next season, we're going to be building pamphlets and stuff that we can actually give to people that can be relevant to children, relevant to business people, that we can put in their hands, that can be the gospel of Christ and point them to Jesus. You see, I want you to do the work of the ministry. See, it's not for the leaders just to do it. It's for all of us. And if I want to say even to the young people here in your schools to do the same thing. And I want to encourage us as we go out with, and I've got these things that we've prepared. And please hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. We've got a pack of six, and it's a special invitation to hand out to someone, tell them more about Church on the Way, but then importantly, steps to peace with God, that they can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'm asking you to partner with us to hand out these things to your neighbors. We will reach the people in your workplace at the right time with the right stuff. But I want you to use those people that live next door to you. If you can give it to them personally, that's great. But if you can put it in their post boxes, and maybe you need to put your name right on the thing, put your name on there where they can contact you. Make it personal, you know, in the thing. So I want you to work together with us, and you are not forced to do this in any way. If you don't want to do this, no problem. There's no coercion in this thing. I want willing people that want to hear the Spirit of God, because I believe the Holy Spirit is sending us to go and reach out with friendship, with the love of God first, and then to go with the gospel. This is just a representation. It's not the fullness. And I think as we just give God, we want to give this to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, use us to touch the people out there. And you know what? Only if we get one person to come to Christ, it's worth it. It's worth it. But I'm telling you now, I have a vision. If you will work together with us, this place is going to be full. Because there are people crying out there for the truth and want to know the life of God. So it is a challenge, but it's a challenge to love. Will you love your neighbor? So what we're going to do now, I'm going to ask you to do something that maybe you might feel a bit uncomfortable about. What we're going to do, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to work around to the edges and get into a circle. We're doing the circle stuff today. But then I want you to face inwards. And then I'm going to just pray some things over us and declare to you. We're going to represent. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to stand in the middle with some of the leaders. And we're going to light a candle as a representation of the light of God. As Craig said, the light shining through us. And then we're going to light other candles and push it out to the sides where you are facing in. And then I'm going to declare God's commissioning over us. And you're going to turn out. And I'm going to declare over you that you are the light of the world. And you're going to go out to be led by the Spirit of God, not by Mark, not by the elders, but by the Holy Spirit who lives within you. And you're going to be obedient to Him. And then I'm going to have this box here in the middle. And if you are led by the Spirit of God, even now, and you want to distribute this, I'm asking you to come and take a peck and to go out and do as the Spirit of God will lead you. Amen? No pressure is what the God has for us to do. Amen? Are we in agreement? Yes. Amen. Amen? Let's get into a big circle first and let's do that. If I can just have the leaders here to help me here, please. Yes, it's here. Ivan, can you grab that, please? Okay, can I have you, eh? Can I ask you to hold these? Just give it to six of the leaders, please. Okay, here we go. Okay. Can you grab this for me, Arthur, and just put it in the... I'll do it in the middle here. Come with me, Nikki. Okay, you want to light this for my sweetheart? Thank you for doing this. I know it's different. So this is a candle representing, in John 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Nikki burnt her fingers. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. If I could just ask some of the leaders to bring their candles. And I want to ask you, if you light your candle, to go around the circle and disperse throughout the circle, please, as a representation of God's presence. and His light. Wonderful. When I went to go and buy these candles yesterday, I didn't go and buy just any candle. These candles have a vanilla fragrance or perfume. And you're going to carry the fragrance of God as you go out as the light of the world. So as you turn around now, I want you to turn around and look outwards, please. And I want to read some scriptures to you. Matthew 10 verse 1, He called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. And in Hebrews 13 verse 20-21, it talks about our equipping. May the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, who brought you back from the dead, the great shepherd of our sheep, equip you with every good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He's equipped you to carry His light and to share the gospel. And then when Jesus spoke to His disciples, when He rose from the dead, from Matthew 28, the Great Commission, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Father, as we are looking outward, not inward, we thank you for the task of preaching this gospel by the love of God. And Father, I ask, will you give us success as we obey you by your Holy Spirit, as we go into our neighborhoods, as we speak to these people, as we share the truth of your word with them. Lord, will you draw those that you've called by name into your kingdom? Lord, will you give us success to love our neighbor? Truly, with your compassion, with your kindness, and with your patience, may the reality of who you are and the power of who you are be evident through our lives. And Lord, I ask, will you again anoint every one of us to be preachers of the gospel of Christ? Where people feel at this point in time, Lord, that they are not capable, I pray, Lord, that they would know your presence and your enabling. I pray on every one of us that your boldness would be a reality. And Lord, as we obey you now, will you give us success, truly as you've declared over us to be a church on the go, going out with your gospel, Lord. Truly that you've declared over us that we're a flagship of Jesus Christ. You've declared over us that we're an armada, flagships going together, driven by the wind of the Holy Spirit to reach our community. And Father, even today, as we go out to our community, I pray, will you give us our community? Will you give us this city? Will you give us this nation and the nations of the earth? And Holy Spirit, will you lead us, every one of us, Lord, to be effective in preaching the gospel of Christ? So Lord, we obey you now. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We go obedient to you now. Thank you for your favor and your blessing upon us now, in Jesus' name. Go with the Holy Spirit. Go with His leading.
Just as we're waiting here, I'd just like to be obedient to the Lord, and I just see a picture that we must do, so that we can keep looking out. But what I'd like us to do is, ever got the candles, can we pass it to each person? Can we pass these candles around? Just let it go clockwise around. Each person needs to hold this candle. Pass it around to your neighbor. Pass it to the person next to you. as a declaration that we all have the light within us. And we're going to take the clutter and the busyness and the things in us that are on the outside and allow the light within each and every one of us to so shine that the world will see it. So take this light, take it, look at it, and believe that you are the light of the world and that you're going to light up your neighborhood and that you're going to make a difference in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord places dreams in each and every one of us here. And maybe you had a dream for the nations. And I really feel in my heart when we were facing out and I was standing in front of that world map next to the one entrance here. And if you've had a passion, you've just had this dream that the Lord would use you one day just to travel and they would send you to the nations. I really believe that today Jesus is just reigniting that. And again, He'll give you that desire for the nations. And I really believe in my heart there are some people here that will cross continents. I believe strongly in my heart there are people here that will cross continents. And the Spirit of the Lord will enable you to do that. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. And He'll outwork something in your life that you never ever dreamed possible. Today, Jesus is reigniting that dream in you again for the lost and to do what He's calling you to do. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes His home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. See now your frustrated brother. See how he's trying to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. 'Cause we are a family whose hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky. Pray to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world.
Amen. Beulah.
I just wanted to tell the family of God this morning, Trish and I are leaving to India on Friday. We're going, amongst other things, we're going to a girls' orphanage, which is run by the UKOM, and it's 64...
They're going to India.
Yes, 61 little girls from the age of 6 to 16 have been taken into the OM's circle, and they are nurturing them, giving them education, health, and everything. And these children, girls, have been abused by their dads, by the brothers, by society. Some of them don't have a home. And I'm so emotional because our children have all the love and everything. They've got an extra toy, they've got food, but these girls have just been left abandoned. And India, as we all know, is a poor country. So we're going on Friday. We're going to spend about 6 days with my cousin, who is working there voluntarily for the last 5 years. And we're going to be with her. And you know, I'm so emotional just to see these children. We're making little gifts for them. And I even asked some of my friends in church to make a little I love you card, Jesus loves you cards. And we bought them little bags, South Africa Amen. Bags, just to bless them.
Amen.
And you know what Mark is doing this morning? For me, I just feel so emotional. I think this is what it's all about.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Father, we just thank you what you're doing in our midst. We want to be obedient to you. And as we go now, Lord, give us the joy of the Lord. And thank you for your blessing upon today now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in what God has done amongst us, I want to invite you for a free cappuccino. I just sense to you, we might not have enough milk, but come and have a free cappuccino with us. Let's celebrate together in what God is saying in our midst. Is there another word? He has a word of knowledge for someone. Sorry, the Lord's just working amongst us here today.
Just this morning, God showed me a neck that was either sore or muscles pulled in the neck, and then he showed me a leg. Not sure if it was left or right, but there was tenderness and soreness in the leg. And the third thing was flu that has left you with a chronic complaint, either a constant coughing or infection in the sinuses. They're those three things. So that the neck might even have been a whiplash, but there's tenderness in that neck, the leg, and being left with a chronic problem after flu. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes. Do come and we'll pray for you.
Go and let your light shine. God bless you all. Thank you, everyone. Amen. 'Can we have everyone come to fetch the box to get the pamphlets? Where's the box, Arthur? He has the box over here. Please come and grab and take 6 at least. If you're willing, that'll be fantastic. God bless you all.